CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Thaddeus McCotter, American Greatness, and Malcolm Hohnlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. We get in our time machine and go to Monday, July 22nd, 1946, and here comes Indiana himself, the Dusty One, the chapeau, the bullwhip, the bag of tricks, but this time it's memory. Thaddeus?
Indiana, as it approaches the 75th commemoration, a very important incident, there's new information coming to light. What is it?
Yes, this is about the 75th anniversary of the bombing of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, which helped expedite the British decision to withdraw from Palestine about 2 years later. This took place on July 22, 1946, and this was the British Mandatory Administration Center at the King David Hotel, and it was less than a month following Operation Agatha, which was not has not been widely reported, when the British rounded up 2,700 officials, but they arrested mainstream Jewish leadership, not just those in Haganah or the more radical groups, and they were taken. The Haganah leadership believed that the British police had taken large numbers of sensitive documents and put it in the King David, where their civilian government headquarters and military leadership were headquartered. The suggestion to blow up just the one section of the hotel came from Begin, but he was the one who insisted that they call beforehand and give advance warning. And when they called, the hotel operator didn't answer the phone. And finally, 10 minutes later, the French consulate which is on the other side of the hotel, got a call alerting it to open its windows to reduce the damage. They warned people to get out of the building. And so the toll was minimized. And the warning came to from the Palestine Post, which passed on the warning to the hotel and to the police. So this was not the way it's often prescribed and described. And the fact that both groups, not just the Haganah, but both groups or the more extreme groups, the Irgun, were involved, both were involved in the planning and the execution of this. And the result was that it was a turning point in the British occupation.
91 dead, 46 injured, and one more detail about the three phone calls. It's now established that the British didn't say they didn't receive phone calls. They made remarks about how they didn't receive phone calls that were properly processed.
They ignored it. They deliberately ignored the warning.
And so
it was only when the French consulate got the warning that people started to react. But they had enough warning to get the people out, but they chose to ignore them.
We go to 2,900 years ago, not very far from the King David Hotel. This is the City of David, the excavation. And Malcolm, this is a tough one for me. Indiana, you've got to have to explain this. How do we get shark teeth all the way up to Jerusalem?
Nobody knows, but this is in a 3,000-year-old cellar beneath a home in Jerusalem on a site where they found bullae, you know, the seals and pottery fragments. There was an inexplicable collection of fossil shark teeth that turned out not to be from food. They didn't eat them, but there seemed to be this immense attraction to it. And this happened shortly after the reign of King Solomon, and the researchers who were there studied it, and at first they thought it was just part of the garbage. It was found in the garbage, actually, with fish bones and food waste, etc. This was the time of the first temple period, and it seems that they didn't follow all the laws of Kashrut, or at least not everybody did, because they found catfish and other remains, including sharks that are today extinct, including the ones that the teeth came from. And the assumption was that the shark teeth were food waste, but through further tests and a lot of very careful examination, they found out that it seems that this was a very valued thing to have. It was very rare, and somebody in ancient Jerusalem collected mineralized shark teeth from the time of the dinosaurs. And so, you know, we're talking about things that are very old, over 2,000, 3,000 years old now, and the in the area of the Gavati parking lot, which you visited and you and I both were at, if you remember, this was found in that site. And there were other occasions in the south where shark teeth were found. Some people believe because there was water in that area, but nobody believes that there was water up in the mountains and that this area was underwater as well. So they may have come from the Negev, where similar fossils have been found, but nobody is clear exactly how they got it. This was from a fish called the squalicorax, which was 5 meters in length and only lived in the age of the late dinosaurs. So this gives you some pinpointing of the period from which it came. And there's still a lot of mysteries about the home in which it was found. There were excavations there in the mountains. They thought it was a pool, but it was not, that we will still find out. But it was filled with stuff, including more than 600 remains of fish and all sorts of other things, including pottery.
Indiana Home Line. The Dusty One, the Chapeau, the Bullwhip, the Bag of Tricks, and Shark Teeth in Jerusalem. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.